Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
We are in our sixth and final sermon of this series called Higher. If you have your bulletin today, we encourage you to pull that out. Look for that little blue insert that's in there. I say this every Sunday. I might sound like a broken record, but I believe these words. I encourage you to pull out that insert. I encourage you to open up your YouVersion Bible app and look for that event. I encourage you to listen for what God has for you. I believe that God wants to really set some things in place for you today. And sometimes we can get distracted by, you know, things we need to take care of when we get home or things that we need to pick up at the grocery store when we leave this place. That's what the back of that insert is for. Anything that you think of, you can use the back of it as a reminder. You know, I got to pick up Doritos. Write that on the back and just get that out of your mind. But we just want you to follow along with what God's Spirit wants to share with your heart on this day. We've been talking about how Jesus says very early in his ministry at this moment, how he's assembled his disciples. We see that Jesus has been going from synagogue to synagogue teaching and proclaiming the good news. We see that Jesus, as he's visiting these villages, is also healing people of every known disease. And it is amazing to see the crowd that is beginning to surround Jesus because they're attracted to his message. They're attracted to his power. In this series, we have seen how Jesus has called us to be salt and light, people of authority and people of influence. We have heard his call to be people who love, not hate, people to be pure and not giving in to lust. He has called us to give hope against our worries. And last week, he challenged us about prayer, that prayer is this perfect opportunity to talk to the Almighty God, but ultimately to say, Father, you know best. Jesus is proclaiming his kingdom in these words. A kingdom that is filled with light and love and purity and hope. And a kingdom that has no room for darkness, no room for hatred or lust or anxiety and worry in that way. So this is the kingdom that Jesus is now proclaiming has come. I've challenged you, and hopefully you've been able to take me up on that, to read Matthew 5, 6, and 7 throughout your week over this month and a half, to allow the entire Sermon on the Mount to seep deep within you as you hear these words on Sunday. But we come to the end. We come to these concluding remarks that Jesus makes. It's recorded by Matthew in chapter 7. This is a moment where Jesus really begins to distinguish between what I would call the self-righteous and the genuine disciples of Christ. See, the self-righteous are people who would love to follow God's law to prove their devotion. But the genuine disciple of Christ is one who follows God's love and allows that love to transform their devotion. A self-righteous individual keeps records of their rights and your wrongs. But a genuine disciple of Christ seeks nothing but the mercy of God and extends it freely to others as well. The self-righteous allow their pride to dominate even their faith. But a genuine disciple of Christ continually dies to himself, to themselves, and discovers how to live with Christ alone. And this is the line in the sand that Jesus is really drawing very early in his ministry, as recorded here in Matthew chapter 7. He says, "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is narrow and the road is difficult and only few will ever find it." The teaching of choosing life over death is not new to the people who are sitting on that mountainside that day listening to Jesus. This is teaching that has been infiltrated through the law and through the prophets. God's people have understood that there are paths of blessing and there are paths that lead to destruction. The problem is, or the difference that Jesus makes here, is that he quickly articulates that the easier path is not one that leads to life. I wish it were different. The easier path The wide gate actually opens toward a highway of destruction. Many of us maybe have been following the news this week from our brothers and sisters in Christ in the United Methodist Church. They've been gathering this past week and debating many positions for their church, just as the Nazarene Church does as well. But what dominated the news was their position of whether or not to include the LGBTQ community as it relates to performing weddings and solemnizing those marriages and ordaining ministers who are openly gay. Many in America have, and in my Facebook thread, it has been very diverse, but many in America have been outspoken against their decision to maintain what the United Methodist Church labeled as the strict biblical interpretation which they maintained, which was to continue their ban of ministers solemnizing marriages of same-sex individuals and prohibiting openly homosexual people from being ordained as ministers. So really nothing changed in their policies, and many in America were really shocked by that decision. I'm not here to pick a fight with anyone on this topic. I know that this topic particularly is incredibly personal to many of us. Many of us have had to be faced with this in very personal ways. So I am in no way trying to make a statement about this issue. I would like to use it, though, as an analogy, the struggle that the United Methodist Church went through this week, as an analogy to what Jesus is saying here. Followers of Christ have been challenged from the moment Jesus said these words on that mountainside to follow a narrow path, not a wide one. The biblical standard that has been set for us as people who want to follow Christ is simple. It is to love all people. That's the mandate of Scripture, to love all people. And yet we realize that as we love all people, not all people will ultimately choose a path that leads to God and His righteousness. The path that Jesus is challenging us to walk is not based on popularity. And there are many issues that the Church of Christ will debate and disagree on, many of them. But ultimately, what we are called to do as His children, as people who are following after His path, is to seek Him. To seek Him in His wisdom and in His knowledge, and to allow Him to penetrate us. He has revealed Himself to us through His Word, and He continues to reveal Himself through His Holy Spirit. John chapter 10 tells us this, and Jesus is telling the story of a shepherd and a gate. Middle Eastern shepherds did not drive their flock. We kind of get this idea, if you're a shepherd, you drive your flock. But Middle Eastern shepherds would actually lead their flock with their voice. They would call out to them and they would follow. So Jesus talks about His sheep will know His voice and they will follow Him into the safety of the pen through the gate. But then He, which is an analogy that they understood because they got that kind of shepherding. But then He says something in verse 9 that was quite controversial at the time and somewhat remains this way. He proclaims that He is the gate. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come through Me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. He goes on then in verse 14 to say, I am the good shepherd. I know My own sheep and they know Me, just as My Father knows Me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice My life for the sheep. The path to discovering the right way, the path to discovering, or the way to discover the path toward the narrow way or the small gate, is to know the voice of the shepherd. Not the voice of popular opinion, the voice of the shepherd. Not the voice of what feels right, the voice of the shepherd. But I got to be honest with you sometimes. I'm honest with you all the time. I inflected that completely wrong. I got to be honest with you, comma. Sometimes I get a little freaked out. Have I listened to the right voice? Have I aligned my life correctly according to God's Word and His leading for me today? And it's It's pretty easy to worry when we read these words of Jesus. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Does that make anybody else's heart just kind of go to their toes? I mean, it does me. And I realize that this can cause some fear. But then I find comfort in pointing back to John chapter 10, where Jesus says, this will not be difficult. My sheep, that's you and me, my sheep will know my voice. There seems, again, to be this line that in the sand that Jesus is putting here. See, the voice of the world is loud. The voice of popularity is loud. The voice of cool is loud. The voice of do what feels good is loud. But the voice of the shepherd is gentle. There's a difference. A shepherd doesn't want to scream and alert all of the enemies and the wolves and the bears. The shepherd speaks gently to the sheep and calls us to a narrow way. As I was reflecting on this morning, I thought there is probably not a more challenging time to really live this out than in middle school or high school. Kids, I understand that you want to explore, that you want to party. I'm just calling some stuff out. You want to drink. You want to vape. You want to be sexually active. And I know that the reason why is not because all those things are necessarily just fun. The reality is the motive behind much of that is you just want to fit in. That is the wide gate. That is the wide road. And I'm not trying to make light of it at all, because I recognize the power and the influence that those things hold on your life. To be labeled a certain way or to be accepted in a certain way. So friends, if you're not praying for our middle school and high school students and our college students, please add that to your list of things you ought to be praying for. But it doesn't change for us adults either. I mean, the reality is we go to work or have family, certain pressures within our family group to act or behave a certain way to fit in or to be accepted all the time. So the question we have is, which voice are we going to listen to? For us as followers of Christ, the voice of God can be found through His Word, the Bible, and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives. Following the prompting of God's presence, that's what will guide us toward the narrow gate and a road that leads to life. And the question I would ask is, why would I want to follow a narrow gate? Jesus goes on to answer that question because He says that path will give us the strength to withstand the storms of life. He says this, anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and floodwaters rise and the wind beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But everyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. The storms of life. Jesus talks about the rains. Have you ever made plans to do something outside and then a few days ahead of time you look on the forecast and realize it's supposed to rain? And then you have a decision to make. Do we change plans or not? I try not to change plans for rain being forecasted. I mean, meteorology is the one job you can be wrong 95% of the time and still have your job, right? I mean, it's hard to understand how that all works. But the reality is, rain is an inconvenience, for sure. A couple of summers ago, Tammy and I were at a wedding that was outside here in Flushing. A great couple, a great Christian couple. And in the forecast that day was rain. And so anybody that was walking into that backyard that day, Cruises, you were there, you were bringing an umbrella, right? And so for whatever reason, this wedding started about 15 or 20 minutes late. I really wish they would have started on time. The bride just got down to the front of this beautiful crowd when you started to hear the tin roof of the shed right next to us start to go bing, bing. Troy, you were there. That was crazy. We were sitting with the Andrews family. And all of a sudden, the bing and the bing started into the bing, 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 bing. And it was darting for your life kind of rain. Like, we got to find shelter, and there wasn't much. That couple in their wedding party stayed up front like nothing was happening. It didn't erase her smile and nothing, but it rained like crazy. And then it stopped, and the sun came out and just played with us a little bit. And then ding, 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 and we knew what was coming. We were all soaking wet. Rain is an inconvenience. But you know what rain caused me for that day? Is just to remember that wedding, right? They're still happily married. They're still following the Lord. God, it was just an inconvenience. But that's not the rain that Jesus is necessarily speaking of here. He says rain in torrents. He's talking about the storm of all storms. Jesus is talking about the kind of storm that seems like it will never end, which leads us to the next issue he brings up, the floods. You know, we're a river community here, aren't we? We've got the Flint River running right through the middle of our town. And yet it seems like every spring we run down to the Beekys Trail and take pictures as if we've never seen the water come over onto the trail. Every year, it's going to flood. Every year. That's just what happens. I was curious. I mean, I grew up in a river community as well. And so I remember some floods, and it might have even been this similar year. But were you here in 1985? Apparently, there was a pretty significant flood that happened in September of 1985, and that flood caused about $10 million worth of damage in this community. I looked up this stat, was just kind of curious what the worst flood was here. The reason for that flood that was listed on this website was brief torrential rains. The same word that Jesus used to kind of articulate these storms, the downpour, torrential rains. Floods display the power of water unlike anything else. Floods can change the course of rivers. Floods can create new land masses, and they can destroy anything in their path. Floods are not to be messed with. They're significant. But he goes on to talk about this storm of storm just not being rain and flood, but also wind. I really wish I was preaching this last Sunday. We had the roof bouncing up and down, right? 40-mile-per-hour winds coming through the field here and hitting us. The projector was just bouncing like crazy. We had a great analogy of wind last week and its power. As a matter of fact, the Olivet group couldn't even go back to Olivet last Sunday. They kind of grounded them and said, we don't want you traveling in that wind. It was powerful. Wind can drive mighty ships across the ocean. Wind has the power to knock down mighty trees to the ground. Casually constructed structures are no match for the power of wind, especially through tornado or hurricane. And so I think of these things, and I think of the words that God proclaimed through the prophet Isaiah. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. So when you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. As Jesus in this Sermon on the Mount continues to raise the bar higher and higher on this mountainside sermon, he proclaims that God's presence will be with us for those of us who put ourselves in position to hear his voice and build our life around his eternal principles. Many will hear the good news of Jesus, but not all will receive. Many will have access to God's love, but few will embrace it. Many will be challenged to live life according to light and purity, but few will actually obey that call. The question I have for myself today, and the question I have for all of us, is where do you want to be in this? Is your desire to be a wise builder or a foolish one? A wise builder will follow the plans established by God. A foolish builder will follow the plans established by man. A wise builder will build on a foundation of God's word, but a foolish builder will build on the foundation of emotion. A wise builder will seek the counsel of other wise builders, but a foolish builder will seek the counsel of no one. A wise builder will be blessed by the fruit of their labor into eternity, but a foolish builder, though they may see short-term success, will face destruction when it matters most. Here's what I really believe God is teaching us in this powerful conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount today. That practicing obedience builds on the solid foundation of Jesus' words in order to endure the storms of life. One thing is for sure, friends, the storms are coming. The storms are coming. Following Jesus does not give you some kind of meteorological miracle that storms won't hit you anymore. Storms are coming. The question is, not will they come, but how will you fare? The rain will fall. The floods will rage. The wind will pound. Will the life you have built be able to withstand the storm? I can tell you today that with Christ, I can assure you that you can. I can assure you that you can. Putting into practice what Jesus speaks of within this sermon, love over hatred, purity over lust, hope over worry, that is the structure of a foundation that Jesus is trying to build in each of us. James warned us about not putting God's word into practice with these words. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you for doing it. I mean, can you really imagine looking into a mirror and forgetting what you look like? That's absurd. If that happens to you, you might need to check in with like a therapist or something. That's not good. That's how absurd this is, that we would hear the gospel message. We would hear that God created and that God loves you so much that He was willing to fix this broken relationship between He and I and you and Him, to send His Son to this world to die for you and I, that we would hear this message of grace and hope and we would somehow reject it? It's as crazy as looking into a mirror and then turning around and forgetting your very face. And I believe many of us have forgotten who we are. And let us not forget that when we look into the mirror, what we see looking back at us is the very reflection of God Himself, for you are His child, created in His image. Let us not forget who we are and whose we are. This world has known no greater love than God's love. This world has known no greater power than God's power. And I think when I think about those things, my mind, I'm just absolutely amazed. That's the word, amazed at God's plan for us. And that's exactly how the people sitting on that mountainside felt that day. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at His teaching, for He taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. See, the teachers of Jesus' day would often quote other teachers from years gone by, ancient teachers, in order to sound more authoritative. They often couldn't stand on their own two feet to even understand what they were saying without quoting somebody else. But Jesus, his teaching was founded on the truth of God's law. It involved the realignment of our heart, our motive, toward the pursuit of that truth. They were amazed. So I want to ask you today, how would you assess your spiritual foundation? Are there cracks? Are there holes in your foundation? Is there a part of it that's weakened that you need to pay attention to? What kind of spiritual home are you trying to build now? Are you trying to build a home that is just good for today, just to get you by one more moment or just get you through? Or are you interested in building a home that will last on that solid bedrock of God's Word? How is God challenging you to build a stronger and deeper foundation for you and the generations that follow you? What the hearers of the Sermon on the Mount that day didn't know or couldn't predict was that 3 years from that moment, this teacher would gather his followers together in an upper room. And they would be doing that to celebrate the Passover Seder meal that was and still is celebrated by Jewish individuals. But on this night, that teacher, Jesus, would ordain two elements of this meal with new meaning. And we celebrate those ordinances here today. On that night, Jesus took the bread that had been shrouded with an element of mystery for centuries. He took that bread and he broke it and he gave thanks and he said this to his disciples, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after the supper, Jesus took the cup, and after he had given thanks for it, he said to his friends, "Drink. Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood shed for you and for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink, do this in remembrance of me." This is a moment in time when I believe that Jesus is reminding us that the only true foundation in this world is built on Him, His life and His death. Today, the bread has been broken for you. The cup has already been poured out into smaller cups, ready for you to receive. In just a moment, there will be some who will come to the front of this gymnasium and be prepared to distribute these elements to you. This is a great opportunity for us to reflect on God's faithfulness, an opportunity for us to reflect on His mercy, an opportunity to reflect on the foundation of our life and to make a decision. Will you be a wise builder? Or will you be a foolish one? Will you be one who decides that no matter what, no matter what it will do to your popularity, no matter what it will do to your acceptance in the crowd, that you will choose the narrow road? You will choose the narrow gate because you desire to live a life that leads to eternal life.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.